that good singing all the way around. I kept listening for that clapper in the back, but.
You got me all pumped up and hyped up, and I keep listening. And all that business right there. But hey, that's a good deal all the way. I love that song, and I love hearing them sing that, as well as all these others that we have heard sung here this evening. And so anyhow, take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking over in the book of 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. And we'll be trying to look there in that chapter here and give you a moment to find it. It's in chapter number 2. As we look there in verse number 1. If you're able to stand, then do so while we look there in this chapter. He said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that by our gathering together unto him." Now, I'm going to tell you, the Lord's going to come. I hope you're ready to meet him. I'm ready to meet him because he got me ready for him. And I couldn't do it by myself. And let me tell you, he done for me what nobody else could do. And that is gathered me unto him, made me one of his own. That you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, and neither by the Spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Now let no man deceive you by any means, and for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And of course, the son of the perdition, that's the child of the devil. That's the devil incarnate, who opposeth and exalteth himself all above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, and so that he is as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now remember ye not that whenever I was with you that I told you these things? Now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until that he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed for whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after Satan, working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because, here's why, they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God gave them, shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, and brethren, beloved of the Lord, because that God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto that he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. And we pray that now that you'd right every wrong, that, Lord, that you'd move upon us within us. If there's one lost and undone without God, may you pound upon their hearts the door. Let them know it's you that is trying to get in. And may they open up by faith and receive you in the free pardon of sin. Bless, I pray, this crowd, this congregation tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on this subject tonight, when Christ shall come again. Now, make no mistake about it, one of these days the Lord's going to come. He that promised will come, he shall come. Make no mistake about it, it's just as sure as you sitting here right in this building here tonight. In fact, is Jesus Christ one of these days is going to come, and the trump of God is going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise first, and they which we which are alive and remain are going to be changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, by the way, let me say to you, if that were to happen, then there's going to be a lot of empty pews here in this church. Now, there are going to be some churches across the country that are meeting together, and they're, you know, they're messing around with one thing. One of them's got Honda, La Shonda, La Shambala, Bowtie, Any, Mini, Mighty, Moses, he got a Honda. There'll be another one that's busy with some other kind of rigmarole that they've got. And there'll be a lot of Baptists, you know, that have simply gone through the motions who have never gotten born into the family of God. I want to tell you something. If the Lord were to come at this very instant, there are going to be a lot of empty pews. I'm wondering if yours will be one of them. Make no mistake about it, when Jesus comes again, he's going to know them that are his because of the fact that he saved them by his grace, that he's called them into the family of God. There's no phonyism. There's no acting and going through the motion. Let me tell you something. When the Holy Ghost of God moves upon your heart and begins to pound upon your heart's door and begins to single you out, it's God and only him who can save you through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into this lesson here, the Lord Jesus Christ is here, and that he's in the volume of the book. It's written of him. Everything the book has to say, the Bible that is, has to say about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say to you, did you ever stop to think about him? He had a supernatural birth. Nobody's ever had a birth like he had. He was born of a virgin. That's neither been before, ever, or since. And there's a great controversy in the day and hour that we're living in. I want to say to you, they don't want to believe about the virgin birth. They don't want to believe about the supernatural birth of our Lord. They don't want to believe that he's God incarnate in human flesh. And I got to tell you right now is, you can believe whatever you want to, and he'll afford you that luxury, but make no mistake about it, nobody who does not believe that Jesus is born of a virgin, that Jesus is God incarnate in human flesh, as the scripture says over in John chapter number 1, people that deny that, they need not expect to go to heaven. I got to say to you that I'm hell proof and heaven bound. You know, in the day we live in, there's a lot of people out there. Well, preacher, what if you were to give up on faith? Let me tell you something. The faith I've got did not originate with me. You'll find that God gave me faith to believe him when I heard the word of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I want to tell you something, is that I can't lose that because God gave me God-given faith that I might believe in him. And make no mistake about it, if you're saved, so do you. We don't have something that we started, well, I'll believe this for a while. If it don't work out, I'll do something else. No, no, if that's what you've got, you ain't got nothing. And this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find, is that the virgin birth is a very vital doctrine of the Christian faith. And not only that, but you'll find this deals with Christ in the chapter that we've looked at. Not only that, but it deals with conviction. Do you realize to know that whenever you got saved, God, the Holy Ghost of God, began to knock on your heart's door heavily, and it began to be as though that God said, I behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open up, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. I remember when the Holy Ghost of God was knocking on my heart. And let me tell you, I'm glad that he knocked more than once, but he wouldn't have had to. And I'm glad that he had followed me at home. I'd drive down the road and see a church on the side. Man, I'd be under such bad conviction. I'll tell you right now is because of the fact is that I grew up hearing the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, let me tell you, is that if there's never any guilt comes to your life, there'll never be any grace dispensed to you either. There's always going to be guilty before you're going to find grace in the sight of the Lord. I want to say that when you begin to look into this lesson here, you'll find the conviction that we're talking about is that a man or a woman, a boy, a girl is undone without hope, without Christ. They've never come to know him in the free pardon of sin. They've never repented toward God by faith, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell you is that everybody in this building here tonight, you've heard enough gospel over and over again to save the world many times. And yet, if you die without hope and without God, it's not going to matter that you've come to church faithfully all these years. So we're glad to see you. All that's going to matter is what have you done with Christ before you leave this world. In this Bible lesson, you'll find out is that in verse number 14, the way we got in is the same way everybody gets in. And the Bible said that we were called into the family of God, called by the gospel, by our gospel is the way that he's been termed here. And let me say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible passage there, you'll find Jesus had said, come unto me, all you that are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I can tell you right now is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you, and you're the only one that can receive it. I can be able to know you're not saved and pray for you. I can talk to you. I can pray with you. I can beg God in your behalf. But God's the only one that can save you. You're the only one that can receive it. And you'll have to be able to do that. Now, in this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that we've been called by the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you'll be clear in this matter. And let me tell you that you'd clear yourself and to be able to know that something is real and that something is wrong in the natural state that you're in. But something is real from the hand and from the heart of God. I begin to look into this lesson here. You'll find that he talked about the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again. And he said before that he does and when that he does, there's going to be a great falling away first, that the son of man, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, let me tell you right now, I believe with all my heart, is that the son of perdition is already in this world that we're living in. And he's working, and he's going to be manifest who that he was and who that he is. I knew somebody said, you think it's Barack Obama? No, he's too stupid to be the Antichrist. Do you think it was Kamala Harris? No, she's too ignorant to even be considered a cabinet member or senator or Congress or whatever. She's vice president. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the United States getting so very bad and so far away from God that in the state and the country that we live in, that they would elect somebody that's as ignorant as Joe Biden and as stupid as Kamala Harris? Somebody asked me, is that because she's black? No, it's because she's stupid. I know a few black people that are pretty smart, but make no mistake, she's not one of them. And let me say to you that, if you will, is that one of these days you're going to find that the son of perdition, the devil himself, is going to be unleashed upon this world. Now, I'm going to tell you right now is I've seen people, you know, that thought that they knew the devil because of their spouse. But that's not going to be him or her. No, no. What you're going to have to realize and recognize, the Lord Jesus Christ said that the reason why he's going to be unleashed, there's so many folks that receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You know, whenever the Spirit of God knocks on your heart's door and you refuse to open up and let him in and receive him, then you just got through receiving the love of the truth. I'm hoping he'll come back and knock again for you. I'm hoping that he'll disturb you on the inside to make you want to open by faith, and that he'll grant you repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus, and that you might be able to call upon him in spirit and in truth. You know, in this lesson here that you're looking at, the Bible said, is that when the devil gets here, he's going to be worshipped, and he wants to be worshipped, so that he is God sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. In other words, the devil wants to assume the role of being God. He's not. He's not going to take that role. But he's going to deceive a lot of people into believing that he is God. You know why, don't you? Because he's a miracle worker. We live in a world that wants to see a few miracles and stuff. I can promise you right now, I could fill this whole block up if there was a few magician tricks that I could do and a few miracles that I could perform and that I could give life to those that have already died. I could stand, they wouldn't be standing room up and down 59. I got to say to you that, if you will, the devil is a miraculous worker and a powerful worker. And if you're not careful, is that he's after you. He's after you. I remember the little song we used to sing all the time, you know, especially to those boys and girls, you know, in Bible school or in Sunday school or any of that. And it was a little song like, 1, 2, 3, the devil's after me. Well, he is after. And I'll tell you right now, you'd better be careful and to realize and know that he's after you. And if he can't get you, he's after your children. If you can't do that, he's after somehow or another your life to be able to wreck it and to mess it up. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you'll find is that he says, even him who's coming is working after Satan. And he said, he's got all power, signs, and lying wonders. And notice, if you will, that with all deceivableness in verse 10, of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now, if you're here tonight and you're saved, you're not perishing. But those that are not saved, they're perishing. Slowly but surely going to die. And one of these days they're going to give up the ghost. Do you realize that, if you're sitting here tonight, you're not saved, you can put your hand upon your heart and you can feel the heart beat, and as it's beating, it's there. Do you know all God's got to do is tell it not to beat again? You're just one heartbeat away from heaven or hell, depending on your condition. Now, I want to say to you, when you look into that, you find is that the devil wants to deceive you, to make you think you're going to have plenty of time and that there's no rush for it. But I want to tell you what it does is it makes people receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now, I got to say to you, for this cause, the Bible said God's going to send them strong delusion. One of the things that ought to be cleared up in the day we live in, and people, they somehow or another get sidetracked with it. They go to saying, you know, when it comes to the death penalty, well, I don't think we ought to go ahead and put those people that are murderers and rapists and baby killers and that. We ought not put them to death. We ought to make them suffer in prison. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think prison can make something worse than the punishment God would give in hell? See, if you're not careful, I mean, seems to reason that we're thinking, well, yeah, you know, hey. You know, a child molester and stuff like that. People think I'm a little bit harsh because I'm not interested in spending a lot of time rehashing that over and over again, getting them up and out of prison or feeding them and taking care of them and giving them free medical and this and that. Here's what I'm for. I'm for lining them up and shooting them before a firing squad on national television. I'm for hanging them by their neck on the courthouse square with a sign that said, here's a child molester, and what we do to them in this county that we live in. I got to tell you, make no mistake about it, when you begin to look into this Bible lesson here, you know, things are different than whenever I was growing up. When I was growing up, every uncle, every grandpa, everybody that you knew that was older than you, I mean, you dare not get without getting goosed. You better be careful about goosing people in the day we live in. And the reason that you'd better be careful about it is because of all the laws and the perversions and the perverts that are going on up and down the road of life. And let me say to you, make no mistake about it, is that the devil is a deceptive creature. And the Bible said that when you begin to look into it, he said, for this cause God's going to send them strong delusion, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, let me just tell you what that passage in part says. There's going to be fun in sin for a season. Do you think about the people that we, tonight, they're not here. But you think about the boys and girls that are out parking in a car, hugging and kissing and fondling on each other and this and that, and the day and hour that we're living in. That'll get you in trouble quick. That's why I tell all of you boys, that's why I'm telling you, especially when you're of age, you better watch, be careful, son. That's jail bait is what that is. You better be careful that you guard your heart, your life, and all that. But you've got plenty of time to be able to mess around and pick the wrong gal, marry up with her, and let her chew your tail out the rest of your life without having to mess it up, because that'll follow you forever. I want to say to you that, if you will, that when you begin to look into it, you'll find is that this crowd that does not believe the love of the truth that they might be saved, God said, I'm going to send them strong delusion. They're going to be damned to a devil's hell, simply because they said no to God and yes to the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, last but not least, I want to say to you, they no doubt that's a curse that is upon people and humanity, and there's a lot of Baptists going straight to hell without hope, without God, just because of the fact that they've gone down the aisle and gotten the baptistry, but they have no regard for God, the Bible, good, right, moral, or decent. In this Bible lesson over in the book of Galatians, if you'd like to turn there quickly in chapter number 1, There's a passage there in verse number 7 that we're going to take up reading there. The Bible said in this lesson that you're looking at, he said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ to another gospel. Now verse 7, which is not another. See, there's not but one gospel. There's not another one. He says, and there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. You know, when you try to change one word or change one idea, one aspect of it, you've perverted the word of the Lord. Verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Look at it. And as we said before, so I say again, that if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. I got to tell you right now, God's very particular about the way of salvation. There's not two ways, there's only one way, and it's in a person, and his name is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the only way to heaven. It's the only way there ever has been, the only way there is tonight, it's the only way that will be tomorrow. You know, sometimes people go to saying, well, now, you know, preacher, I may be on a different road than you are, but we're headed to the same place. I got news for you. This Bible said, there's only two roads. One of them's the narrow road that leads to heaven, and the other's the broad road that leads to hell. If you and I are not on the same road, one of us is not going to make it. See? And so as we begin to look into that lesson that's there, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I can look back on the day that God knocked on my heart's door, saved my soul, and cleared my heart and mind as to who I was and what I needed, and saved me from the curse that would have been put upon me had I not ever trusted Christ in the free pardon of sin. Now I realize and know that there's a lot of people out there that in the day and hour we're living in thinking, well, you know, what's going to happen? I don't know, what do you want to happen? What do you want to happen? Well, I mean, I don't know. I do a lot of praying and this and that. Have you received him in the free pardon of sin? Have you asked him to save you for his own name's sake? Well, let me tell you right now is if you call upon him, he'll answer. What does it say from the Old Testament on? Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Make no mistake about it. When God comes knocking on your heart's door, and you know, it could be tonight while you're sitting here. Could be when you go home and pillow your head. Could be when you're busy working or going about your school activity or whatever it is you do. It could be that while God is troubling you, it might be that you youngsters will get up and want to say, I need to talk to you a minute, Daddy, you and Mama. And God's been disturbing my heart, and I need to talk to somebody about it. It might be you do that. It might be that you want to come down the aisle sometime. And that you want to make it known and make it open that you have trusted Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. I got to say to you, it's good to be saved and to know the Lord because we are closer than we first believed about the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, you know, I just feel so alone. You're going to feel worse than that. If the Lord were to come, I'm going to be gone. Now, there's going to be a whole lot of people that will be glad when I'm gone. And you can tell every one of them if you're here. You can go right over here to the cemetery. He's already got it all paid for, got his headstone there. You can go over there and jump up and down on his grave. That's what he'll be doing. But what a sad day that it's going to be when the Lord Jesus shall come again. And the graves are going to burst asunder. And I'm telling you right now, I'm looking with great anticipation to the soon coming again of the Lord. How about you? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed as we get ready to dismiss and to be able to leave from here on this very evening. Our Father, we want to thank you for loving us even while we were unlovable. We ask your blessings now upon the reading of the word and the preaching of the cross and the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that now that you'd go to every home and every heart. And dear God, examine ourselves whether we be in the faith or not.
And Lord, I pray that you'd give the sinner faith to believe you, repentance toward God, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray.